Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on the top of daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph at the third line Amar of Achabarad. Today we're going to talk about the possibility, the Gemara is going to entertain the possibility that the Torah was originally intended only for Moshe Rabbeinu and his descendants, and the Gemara is going to ask four questions on that possibility, and then the Gemara is going to raise four qualities of a Navi that are all derived from the qualities that Moshe Rabbeinu exhibited, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigmatic example of a Navi. So we're going to have four qualities that a person needs in order to become a Navi, and the Gemara is going to prove that at least four great Naviim were all wealthy. So apparently being wealthy was one of the qualities that was necessary in order to be a Navi, and then the Agadot is going to come to an end, and on the bottom of the page we have a new Mishnah where the Mishnah is going to discuss whether you can feed the family and the animals of a guy who you have a Neder Anah with, that he's not allowed to get Anah from you. Is that a violation of the Neder Anah? It's going to discuss marrying off a daughter to a guy when there's a Neder Hana'a between father-in-law and son-in-law. The Gemara is going to talk about which direction that Neder Hana'a goes in that discussion, and then the daf is going to conclude before the Mishnah by discussing some very small hana'os that maybe would be permitted even when there is a neder hana'a, because such a tiny amount of hana'a that maybe wouldn't even qualify as hana'a. And the Gemara is going to talk about feeding slaves of a mudar hana'a. So let us begin. We are three lines from the top. Lamed ches amir aleph. Amir avacha bar ada b'ma'arava paskin la'adin psuka l'tlasa psukin. In Eretz Yisrael, they took the following pasuk and they broke it up into three separate psukim. The pasuk reads, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Yinei Nochi Boi Elecha Ba'av Ha'anan, and the pasuk continues, Ba'avor Yishma Ha'am B'dabri Imach V'gam B'choya Aminu Li'olam V'yagin Moshe Zerbe'am El Hashem. So they in Eretz Yisrael, they used to break that down into three psukim, and the way they would break it down is as follows. The part that our Gemara quotes, ending with Ba'av Ha'anan, was one part of the pasuk, and then Ba'avor was one pasuk. Then they would have the next phrase, Ba'avor Yishma Ha'am B'dabri Imach V'gam B'choya Aminu Li'olam, as the second pasuk, then Ve'yageid Moshe Tivre'am El Hashem as the third pasuk. But it's all really, the way we have it, it's all really one pasuk. They would just break it down into three psukim. Why would they break it down into three psukim? So Shittim Gbetza says in the most pashut answer, based on the Gemara Megillah Chavtes and Beis, where the Gemara says that we in Chutz La'aretz are on a 1 year cycle of finishing the Torah every year, and every Simchas Torah we make a siyum on all of Chumash. But in Eretz Yisrael they used to finish the Torah every 3 years, so they needed more psukim, because they were finishing the Torah, they were going so much, they were only covering one third of the Torah each year, so in order to get all the aliyos that they needed to get in every single Shabbos, they needed more psukim, so they would break it down into three psukim. That seems a little bit odd, though, because who authorizes us to change the kol pasuk lo paski Moshe and non lo paskinan? We're not allowed to just break down psukim however we see fit, however we choose to break it down. The Marsha says that no, there must have been an alternate mesora, and the reason for the alternate mesora was that the lashon the pasuk sounds like that bavur sheyishma Hashem, because sheyishma ha'am is the reason for what's said before, meaning that Hashem said to Moshe that he's coming ba'av ha'anan so that the nation will hear b'dabri imach, that the nation will hear when I speak with you. And that's not correct. It's ba'avur. The ba'avur is going on the continuation of the pasuk, that so it's so that people can hear that I'm b'dabri imach, people hear that I'm b'dabri imach, so that they'll be yaminu b'chali olam, that they'll always trust you. So that's the real pshat in the pasuk. And then the third part of the pasuk was divided from the other two parts, because we never find the pasuk where Hashem speaks to Moshe and Moshe speaks back to Hashem all in the same pasuk. So we have to break off that last part where Vayageid Moshe Estivrei Ha'am El Hashem, where Moshe speaks back to Hashem, from the rest of the pasuk. That's how the Marsha explains the alternate mesora in that pasuk. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Lo Hashir Moshe Ela Mipsulasan Shaluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from the leftover pieces of the luchos after he finished chiseling out the luchos, so there was some leftover pieces of stone, and apparently the stone was very expensive, very fancy stone, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy. Shenemar, psol lecha shnei luchos avanim karishonim, and we darshan, psol lecha means psolasan shalecha yehei. Whatever you're left with when you chisel it out, that will be yours, that you get to keep. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, lo nitna Torah ela lemoshe ulezaro. An unbelievable havamina the Gemara has, that the Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu and to his offspring. Shenemar, ksav lecha, psal lecha. Ma psalasan shalcha, av ksavan shalcha. That the Torah that's being written is specifically shalcha, just like we said, the parts of the Luchos were specifically lecha. And Moshe, nag, batov asayid, v'nasan l'Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu just happened to be very generous, he was extraordinarily generous, so he decided to give it to Klal Yisrael. V'alava kasvomer tov ayin hu yivarach. And that's what the Pasuk says when it says tov ayin hu yivarach. So the Pasuk is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's tov asayin, Moshe Rabbeinu's great generosity in deciding to share the Torah with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Now obviously all the Acharim struggle with the issue of how could there even be a Havamina that the Torah was given to only Moshe and his family, wasn't meant for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Marshal explains the Havamina of the Gemara is not that the mitzvos of the Torah were only meant for Moshe and his family and not the rest of Klal Yisrael. It's that the limud ha-Torah, that the intellectual element of studying Torah, maybe was going to be reserved for one family of intellectual elite, but the observance of Torah was always meant for Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that everyone should be involved in the limud ha-Torah. The difficulty, of course, with that is that one of the mitzvos ha-Torah is limud ha-Torah, is Talmud Torah. Maybe Talmud Torah would have been different. Maybe it would have been a fulfillment of Kriyas Shema Shacharis V'Arvis, like the Gemara says, that one is Mekayim V'Gisah B'Yom V'Laila. If they just read Kriyas Shema Shacharis V'Arvis, maybe there would not have been a requirement to master Torah like we have now. We have a requirement to master Kol HaTorah Kula. Maybe the nature of that chiyuv of Talmud Torah would have been different. But it seems difficult to say that, because after all, Chazal Darshan based on the Pesukim, V'shinantam Levenecha, She'edivrei Torah Mechudadim B'Ficha, that you should be, the words of Torah should be fluent in your mouth, that when someone asks you, Al Tegamgem V'Tomer Lo, you shouldn't have to stumble, I'm not sure, maybe, it should be El Tomer Lo B'Yad, you should be able to be, it should be so fluent, it should come right, slip right off of our tongues. So it's hard to imagine that drasha would not have existed. But anyway, that's how the Marsha suggests. The Chassam Sofer suggests that the Havamina is that the Torah would not have been given to Klal Yisrael to be learnt mitoch haksav. Ksav lecha is what we're dashing, that the ksav, Torah Shabbos, to read it, Torah Shabbos, of course, would have been given to Klal Yisrael, but we would not have been able to be dorish, the midos mitoch haksav, on our own. We would have had to receive everything as a mesorah, much like Zeru Shavah, but then, of course, there still would have been an obligation to learn it and to master it. It's the control over the process of Torah Shebaal Peh that was given to all Chachmei Yisrael, not only those from Moshe Rabbeinu's family. And obviously other Rishonim and Achronim take a shot at answering that question as well, but very, very difficult. The question seems to be better than all the approaches. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, is it even possible to suggest that the Torah was only meant for Moshe Rabbeinu? Masav Rav Chista va'ositzi va'Hashem ba'isahi l'lamein eschem, that Moshe was commanded l'lamein eschem, to teach it to Klal Yisrael. Maybe it's just you're supposed to read that pasuk as Hashem commanded me, and then I decided on my own to come teach you. So Gemara says, but what about what we can do with the following pasuk? So what do you do with that pasuk? It sounds like that I'm supposed to teach you chukim u'mishpatim because God commanded me initially to teach it, not because it was my own tovas ayin, my own generosity in deciding to teach it. So answer the Gemara, you can read it as follows: Elokei osi tziva, God commanded it all to me. Vani lachem, and I decided on my own to give it to everybody else. What about the following pasuk? Third question: Atah kisvu lachem es hashira azos, that you're supposed to write down es hashira azos. That sounds like kol haTorah kula, the shira azos. Answers the Gemara: No, hashira lechuda. Hashira azos may just refer to the shira. May just refer to parshas hazinu. It doesn't necessarily refer to kol haTorah kula. Any part of Tanakh that's broken down in where we have a mesorah with the lines break down into the pieces of lines, Riach and Levena, whether it's a Riach al Gabi a Riach or a Riach al Gabi Levena, like Az Yashir or like Parsha Shira Sa'azinu, has the din of Shira. Even Sefer Yoshua, the 31 kings are listed in columns, so that's also considered to be a Shira of sorts. So maybe just the Shira, referring over here to the Shira Sa'azinu. Says Gemara, yeah, but what do you do with the following? That this Shira is going to be an aid for B'nai Yisrael. And if it were only the Shira, why is that an aid? What part of the Shira of Hazinu actually serves as a witness? Ella pilpula bialma. No, rather what you have to say is that what was originally given only to Moshe Rabbeinu was pilpula Torah, was the ability, now certainly to know all the halachos, to learn kol haTorah kula, that was always meant for Klal Yisrael. But the pilpula Torah, the back and forth and the discussion and the whole way of being mefalpil and learning Torah, that maybe was only initially meant for Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was kind enough to share it with the rest of Klal Yisrael. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chafalaf, where the Gemara says that Amar Rava, Aval Pishe Nichulo Avos of the Adam Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Lichtov Mishalo. That even if a person has inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, still he has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. That's the last mitzvah in the Torah. Va'ata Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Azos is a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, and in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes that even though the Torah says that you're supposed to write Hashira Zos, it means that you're supposed to write Kala Tarukula that has the Shira in it. Because it can't mean to write just the Shira, because we're not allowed to write the Torah Parshios. You're not allowed to write just a section of the Torah. If you're writing the Torah, you have to write the whole Torah. So even though the Pasuk actually means Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Zos, only Parshas Hazinu, once you're writing Parshas Hazinu, says the Rambam, you can't just write Parshas Hazinu, you have to write the whole thing, because if you're only writing Parshas Hazinu, that would be breaking down the Torah into Parshios. So Shagasari in Simon Lamedal, it says, wait a second, in our sugi, it's very clear that the Pasuk itself, when it says Kisluchem Hashira Zos, is referring to Kala Torah Kula and not Parshas Hazinu. That's the way the Ram learns. From the fact that it says Mantia Hashira Zos La'ed, we see clearly that it's not only about Hazinu, because Hazinu doesn't have any edus. So shouldn't that have been the explanation of the Rambam? Instead of the Rambam saying, no, the Pasuk means Parshas Hazinu. Elamai, once you're writing Parshas Hazinu, you have to write the rest. Instead of saying that, why doesn't the Rambam just say Pasha like our Gemara says? That if it says that you have to write, Ata Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira Azos, that the Shira is a reference to Kol HaTorah Kula itself. It's not a step removed, that it's only Hazinu and then we extend it to Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Shagasari suggests, based on the way the Rush reads our Gemara, works much better. The way the Rush understands the Gemara is that the Gemara's Kasha is that if the only part of Torah that was meant to be given to Klal Yisrael was the Shira, but it was only a Shira, says the Russian says that if the rest of Torah it would not have been given to Klal Yisrael, then the Shira would have nothing to be made about. Meaning it's not that the Shira doesn't have Eidos. The Shira does have Eidos. But there would be nothing for the Shira to be made about if there was no rest of Torah. The whole Eidos is that we observe the rest of Torah, but if there's no rest of Torah, then there's no Eidos. So if you learn like the Rush, then the Pasuk actually, when it refers to Shira, is only referring to Hazinu, then you need to say like the Rambam, that once you have Shira Hazinu, so Mela, you then have to write the rest of Torah as well. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashra Shechinaso, Ela Al Gibor, Oshir, V'Chacham, V'Anav. That in order for a person to receive Nevuah, in order for the Hashra'as Hashchina to happen for a person, he needs these four qualities. He needs to be strong, wealthy, wise, and humble. All of these qualities are necessary in order to receive Nevuah. It's interesting because this is not the only place in Shas where there's a list of the qualities that are necessary for Nevuah. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Tzadik Beis tells us that Eina Shechina Shara Ela Al Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, Ubal Koma. So it says, it leaves out Anav, and instead of Anav it says Bal Koma, a tall person. That a person needs to be tall in order for it to be a Navi. So the Achronim all raise the point that it's against our Gemara. So then they discuss, why is it important that a person be tall anyway? So the Ran writes in his Drushos that the idea of a person being tall is because it's critical that a Navi be respected by the people. So whatever it is that causes people to figuratively look up at a person, you know, look up to a person, is going to be necessary for a Navi. A Navi has to represent something that everyone wishes they can be, that everyone admires, that everyone looks up to. So a tall person, for whatever reason, that's a quality that people tend to look at as a quality of authority or a quality of stature. It is something that people tend to look at. It's a kiss of death for a politician sometimes when a politician is short, because he's going to appear in public and he's going to be shorter than everyone else. There's a certain look that a person has when he's taller than other people. Tartamima suggests that no, the all of these midos are all one mida. The mida is anivus. That's all that's really necessary. Everything else is how to define proper anivus. Meaning, let's say a person is poor and short and not very smart, and you know he has the opposite of all of these qualities, and weak. So, and he's an anav. Of course he's an anav. What's he going to brag about? He's got nothing. No, the only way to be a true anav is if you have what to brag about, and then you're still an anav. So the Torah Tzmima says all of these qualities, the Torah Tzmima in Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis, that's what he points out, that in order to be a Navi, it's really all about the anivus. The Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah writes that Nevuah is only chal on a chacham gadol b'chachma, a gibor b'midosav. He says, what's a gibor? Gibor b'midosav. It doesn't mean that the guy works out, that he has big muscles. No, it means that he's meskaber al yitzro, that he's able to overpower his yitzro. That's what a gibor means. Meaning all you have to do is learn Pirkei Avos to define what these terms mean. Ezu ashir hasameach b'chalko, ezu gibor hakovish is yitzro. That's what all this means. That's what the Rambam explains. And the Rambam expounds on this in the Shemona Prakim, in the Pirush HaMishnayos. He describes that all of these things are not a reference in the literal sense to what a person has to be. The Kesef Mishnah, however, writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that when the Gemara says that it's only Al-Gibor, it doesn't mean Al Gibor. He says that the Rambam must explain that this Gemara, like we're saying, that it doesn't mean a Gibor Bekach. But then he says, but all the rayos that the Gemara is about to bring for all these qualities seem to be literal. That he was literally wealthy, not that he was Sameach Bechalko, that he was literally strong, not that he was Kovish B'Yitzro. So that's why the Ches Mishnah says that the Rambam must have written the idea of being Kovish B'Yitzro and all that, and Sameach Bechalko Misvaras Atzmo. That was his own thing. But the Gemara means in a literal sense. That's how the Ches Mishnah understands. Problem with the Ches Mishnah's reading is that it's against the Rambam in many places. The Rambam maybe in Yisodei HaTorah doesn't spell it out that he's teaching up this Gemara, but in Sakdam to Pirkei Avos in the Shemona Prakim, he spells out that he's teaching up this Gemara. That when he says that a Navi needs to be these things, he says, like the Gemara says, that a Navi needs to have these qualities. So it's hard to say that the Rambam is not being just being mefarish the Gemara. It seems very clear that the Rambam is being mefarish the Gemara. And that's what the Lech Mishnah already points out, that in Mor Nevuchim also, the Rambam says he associates these qualities specifically with this Gemara when he talks about how he has to be able to be Kovish and Yitzro. He says that's what the Gemara means by Gibor. It's a good kasha, though, that all the rayas the Gemara is about to bring do refer to the simplest way of understanding Gibor and Chacham and Ashir. So it says Gemara, how do we know these qualities? So we'll take one by one. Gibor, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibor, that you need to be, that, right, meaning all these are derived from Moshe. How do we know Moshe was Gibor Dichsiv? Because the pasuk tells us Vayifros es ha'ol ala Mishkan, that he spread out the oel over the Mishkan. Va'amarmar Moshe Rabbeinu parsa. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that spread out the cloth over the entire Mishkan. Uksiv eser amos or a chakeresh, that each beam of the Mishkan was 10 amos tall. So obviously he must have been very, very tall in order to reach over the Mishkan to spread it all out. What does it have to do? What does tall have to do with anything? We just said he has to be strong. Maybe he was very, very tall and also very weak. How does that tell us that he was strong? So it's a different pasuk that tells us that he was strong. Moshe Rabbeinu took the luchos, threw them down to the ground with such force that these solid rocks broke into pieces. He had to be very strong in order to do that. V'tanya, because the Braisa tells us, haluchos orchan shisha v'rachman shisha v'avyan shlosha. These luchos were not these flat sheets of stone. They were thick pieces of stone, six tvachim by three tvachim each. To break a piece of rock like that, he had to throw it down with significant force. So that's how we know that he was very strong. Ashir, how do we know Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy? psalcha psalasan shalachayei. Well, that we said because Moshe Rabbeinu got to psalcha, that he got to keep the. That he got to keep the psalas of the luchos. Rabbi Yaakov Emden raises the question: how do we learn from here that Moshe Rabbeinu is only master of the Shechina on someone who's wealthy? By that time, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the time psalcha, by the time he was already carving out the luchos, he was already he already had nevuah. He already received the Torah. So obviously, he had the Torah from beforehand. He had the hashras hashchina before they ever got to psalcha. So he says, if you look in Rashi and Chumash on the pasuk, Rashi apparently was worried about this question. He writes from the psalos of the luchos nis asher Moshe harbe. The implication of the word harbe is that he was already wealthy. This is how he became super duper wealthy, was by the psalos of the luchos. But it's against the Gemara, sounds like this is how we know that he was wealthy at all. So it's difficult to understand. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the ikra shirus really is bedeya, and that was that Moshe Rabbeinu always had. And the Gemara is just saying that in addition to Ashirus Bideya, like the Rambam understands, the Ezu Asher Samech Mechalko, Ezu Gibor Kovish Sitzro, the Gemara is just highlighting that in addition to that, they also had what we would conventionally refer to as Ashirus. The Marsha says, based on the Rush, that the Gemara means only bikvius, that in order to have hashras hashchina bikvius, you need to be wealthy. So it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu had moments of hashras hashchina beforehand, but now he was going to have an ongoing relationship where it was going to be a more consistent hashras hashchina, where it's going to be more kavua. It is interesting, the Gemara had said that now we move on to Chacham, that you have to be a Chacham. So let's see. Chacham, Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru'u Ba'olam, V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe, Chasar Achas. There are 50 levels of understanding that are in this world. They were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu, except for one. Shenamar V'tachsereyu Ma'at Me'elukim. He was like one Madrega down from the highest Madrega, the closest Madrega of Chachma, to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The Gemara Maseches Babas Dafid Beis tells us that miyom shecharev Beis Hamikdash, from the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, nitla nevua min hanevi'im, the nevua was taken away from nevi'im, v'nitla lechachamim, and instead was given to chachamim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Atu chacham lav naviu. So was a chacham not eligible to be a navi before? It was only after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed that a chacham can actually receive nevuah? So it says no. Even though it's nitla min hanevi'im, min hachachamim lo nitla. The Gemara answers. Even though regular nevi'im lost their nevuah, but Chachamim still had nevuah after the Chorban HaBayis. And Rashi explains that originally the Gemara understood that a Chacham couldn't be a Navi, because it says it was taken from the Nevi'im and instead was given to the Chacham. It sounds like a Chacham was disqualified from being a Navi. So then Mishchar Beis HaMikdash was given only to the Chacham. So that's what the Gemara says. What do you mean? Previously all the Nevi'im were morons? They were all fools? None of them were Chachamim? So that's what the Gemara answers, that beforehand it was Nevi'im and Chachamim. Even the Nevi'im that weren't Chachamim had Nevuah. After the Chorban HaBayis, only the Nevi'im that were Chachamim had Nevuah. So the Ramban over there says, what on earth is Rashi talking about? How can you suggest that the Nevi'im, when the Beis HaMikdash were around, included some people who were Chachamim, some who weren't? Our Gemara, in order to have Hashras HaShechina, person needs to be a Chacham. So the Ramban says that what the Gemara means over there is that even though the Nevuah was taken away from Nevi'im, meaning in the form of Nevuah, now it was given in the form of Chachma. Meaning, the way you used to get Eitzah of what should I do in the future, what career path should I take, how do I make this decision in life, you go to the Navi and he'd have a vision and he would tell you what to do. Now, you go to wise people. You go to Chachamim, don't use Nevuah. That's what it means. Nitl Nevuah Menavim. We don't have Nevuah anymore. It means that at what we used to use Nevuah for, we should now use Chachma for. But of course, all the original Nevi'im were all Chachamim as well. That's what the Rambam writes in the Shemona Prakim, that in order for a person to be eligible to be a Navi, he needs all the Milos HaSichlios also. He needs to be a very intelligent person. And then the Gemara says, Anav, that in order to be a Navi, in order to have Hashras HaShechina, one needs to be humble. Tichsiv Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was exceedingly humble. Amrav Yochanan Kol HaNavi'im Ashirim Hayu. Minalan, how do we know that all the Navi'im were wealthy? Mi Moshe, Umi Shmuel, Me Amos, Umi Yonah. from this list of four Nevi'im. How do we know about each of these Nevi'im that they're wealthy? Well, Moshe d'chsev lo chamarechem nem nasasi, that I never took out a single chamar from Klal Yisrael. So ibelo igra, if it means that I never took without paying for it, without renting it out, without paying for a rental fee, lafuke man d'shakel b'lo igra. What is he saying? That I'm not a ganav? Shkoyach, you're not a ganav. You're the leader of the Jewish people. I would hope you're not a ganav. So ela da'afilu b'igra. No, he's saying that I never even had to ask any of you to rent me your donkey because I had everything I needed. I never had to be dependent on another person. Well, says Gemara, dil mishum dani hava. Maybe he never rented because he was poor, not because he was rich. So says Gemara, elamin psalucha, psalasin yeshalucha. No, it's from psalucha. That's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy. But bottom line is, we do see that he was wealthy. Shmuel, how do I know Shmuel was wealthy? D'chsiv, hineni anu vi neged Hashem v'neged mishicho, es shor mi lakachti v'chamor mi lakachti. When the Jewish people wanted to have a king, and Shmuel was not particularly happy about that choice, that they wanted to have a king, so he gave a whole Musar Shmuz. What did I do wrong? Was I not a good enough leader? Whose shor did I take? Whose chamor did I take? You know what a king is going to be like? And he tells them the whole Parshas HaMelech, how a king is going to make their lives miserable, and the kind of power that a king is going to have, v'chulei v'chulei. So ibechinam, if Shmuel is saying that he never took anything for free, lafugi man d'shakel b'chinam, when he's saying that he's not a ganav, elad afil b'schar, no, he's saying he never even had to pay for it, til mudani ava. But again, maybe it's because he was poor, elamehacha. It's from the following, v'chuvasar amasa kisham beso, that he returned to Ramah because that's where his house was. V'amar rava rava darshins, kol makom shahalach, Beso imo. Wherever he went, he had a house because he was so wealthy. He had a home there and a home there. So that's how we know that he was very wealthy. Amar Rava, gadol ma shenemar b'Shmuel yosar mi shenemar b'Moshe. What's said about Shmuel, about his wealth, is even greater than what's said about Moshe Rabbeinu's wealth. Dilu b'Moshe Rabbeinu k'siv, lo chamar echem neem nasasi da'afilu b'schar. Vilu gabi Shmuel, afilu b'rotzol mo sachru. D'chsev v'yom lo shaktan v'lo rotzosanu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he never asked anyone to rent them to rent him their donkeys. By Shmuel, it says that even when they would ask him, please, take from us. Well, you know, we'd like you to rent it from us. He would turn them down. He wouldn't even, he would never even take them up when they were begging him to do it. So that's how you see Shmuel is even greater, a greater level of independence than Moshe Rabbeinu. Amos d'chsiv, how do I know Amos was wealthy? Vayan Amos v'yomer l'amtziyav lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi ki bokar anochi u'boles shkamim. Kedimetagim Rav Yosef, ari marigisi anavish shkamim li b'shiflasa. That he's saying, I also own sycamore wood, meaning he's saying, I own this fancy, very expensive type of wood. So that's how we know that Amos was very wealthy. Yona d'chsiv, how do I know that Yona was a navi? D'chsiv, because Pasuk says, vayitein tzchara, Vayered ba, that he paid for the admission to the boat and he got on the boat. So va'amar Rabbi Yochanan shenasan schar shel sfina kula. It wasn't that he was able to afford a single boat ticket. He wanted that boat to leave right away because he was running away from receiving nevuah from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he rented out the entire boat. He said, "How many tickets are unsold?" And he bought all the remaining tickets of the boat just to get the boat going. Amar Rabbi Rumnus schar shel sfina v'yadalat alafim dinari dava. And that was very expensive in those days. It was 4,000 golden dinar that he had to pay in order to rent the boat. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu would learn the Torah and he would forget it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a matana. That Hashem gave it to Moshe when they finished speaking. Meaning, it's not possible for a human mind to learn Kol HaTorah Kula in 40 days and 40 nights and to remember Kol HaTorah Kula in 40 days and 40 nights. It's not possible. So Moshe Rabbeinu tried and tried and tried, but ultimately the way to do it was as a reward for his amelus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave it to him as a matana. Many understand that that's a model of how Torah works in general. That Torah is this very ruchni type of limud, and our gashmi minds are not really able b'derech hateva to understand Torah. But we put in the amelus, and Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards us by giving it as a matana to us. So it's the amelus. That's what they say. That I think they say the gra, that he would sit and he would work, and then no, they probably say about Hasidish masters, but whatever, they'd work, and then didn't understand anything, and then in one moment they'd have like 10 pshatim in something that was mamish. They saw it being given as a matana. Okay, new Mishnah. Vizanis ishto ve'ezbana. Continuing in the discussion, when there is a neder hana'a, so a person is not allowed to get hana'a from me, I'm allowed to still support his wife and his children, afal bishu chayiv b'mizonosan, even though really he's chayiv in their mizonos. But v'lo yosin es behemto bein tmei bein tahara, I'm not allowed to feed his animals, whether it be his kosher animals or whether it be his non-kosher animals. Now we had a gemara not that long ago, just a few days ago in Daf Lamed Gimel, where we said that when the Mishnah says that a mudar name chavero is allowed to pay his chovos, that's only like the shita of Chanan, who holds that when you pare a chovos shel chavero, ibed es ma'osav, that you're not allowed to get your payment back from him when you pay back someone's chov, because it's all you're doing is you're being mavriach hari minichse chavero, you're taking away any threat on your friend's nechasim, but you're not actually giving him anything. So you know you're just withholding hefsid from him, but you're not actually giving him anything. So when you're mudar na mechavero, the madir is allowed to pay the chavos of the mudar because it's not called that he's giving him any anot. That's all the shita of Chanan. The chachamim, however, hold that the lov is chayiv to pay back when someone's parei is chavo, because paying a chov is like harvachas mamon. That's giving him money. That's not just mavriach hari. And therefore, if you have a neder anah, you're not allowed to pay back the guy who's not allowed to get anah from you. You're not allowed to pay back his chovos. So the chora, our Mishnah that you're allowed to provide for his wife and his children, that he has a chiyuv to support, lechor would only be going like Chanan, but according to the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to support them because you're giving him anah by supporting them. That's his achrayus, it's his chiyuv. But the Gemara gives no indication that our Mishnah is only like the Shita of Chanan, not like the Shita of the Rabbanan. So it seems odd that our Mishnah would only go like Das Yachid of Chanan, not like the Shita of the Rabbanan. So the Ran writes that our Mishnah is telling us that the Madir is allowed to support the wife. That's even according to the Shita of the Chacham. It's not only like Chanan. Over here we're talking about where you're doing a Petaras Mitzvah, not Petaras Piron Chov. When you're doing it Petaras Piron Chov, you're trying to pay back his chovos, so then he owes you the money. But if you're just doing it because Nebuch, the wife is hungry, so you just want to give her food, so you're doing a Petaras Mitzvah, not because you're trying to pay this guy's chovos, well then he has no obligation to pay back money, and therefore it's only considered like Mavriach Hari, even according to the Chachamim. The Rashba says also that Ramish is going even like the Chachamim, and even the Chachamim would say you're allowed to support his wife, and it's not considered like Poreach Chovos Shel Chavero, because Poreach Chovos Shel Chavero is only when you do beferish to pay back the chov. Over here, you're giving it to them as a matana, not as a chov. You're specifically telling them that it's a matana. So as long as you explicitly say, the Rashba says that it's a matana, then it's not a violation of Porei Chovo Shel Chavero. Tosos, Balei Tosos, suggests different. They just say that the issue over here is that you're not paying back the mizonos that the husband is obligated to pay the wife. You're giving the mizonos that's beyond the obligation of the husband. You're giving extra mizonos beyond what the husband would have been obligated to give on his own. It's interesting, though, that the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, in spite of all these answers and all the different Rishonim, say how this Mishnah has got to be going even like the Rabbanan, not just like Chanan. So the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim writes, V'chein Parea Hamadir Chov Sha'alav Sharei Lo Igia Liad Ruven Klum Elamon Mimenu Atviya Menias Atviya Inu B'chal Yisurei Na'a. Hamadir is allowed to pay back the Chov because it's just Mavriya Chari like the Shita of Chanan. Lefichach Mutter Lo Lozen Esishto Vezbanav Avad Vafilu Aknanim Afli Shuchayv Vimzo. And it's only because we hold like Chanan that our halach and our mishnah is correct as well. So the Rambam very clearly, Beis Yosef points this out, holds that our mishnah is only going like Chanan. And he's saying, we paskin that way because it's a stam mishnah, and you're going to paskin like a stam mishnah, even if it's like a das yachid. So that's how the Rambam understands that it's not a kasha that needs to be answered. It's the stam mishnah in a chinami. It's going like Chanan. Okay, weiter in the mishnah, we said that the guy is not allowed to feed the other fellow's animals. But Reb Lezer Omer zanes hatamei aveinu zanes haTorah. He could feed his non-kosher animals, just not his kosher animals. Amru Lo, so the Chacham said to Reb Lezer, ma bein tamei haTorah? Why should it make a difference? Amru Lo, shatahora nafsho l'shamayim v'gufa shelo. The behemah tahora, if you want to bring it as a karban, its nefesh goes to shemayim, but the guf, the actual meat of the animal, is ultimately going to be eaten. Even if you bring it as a karban, it's going to be eaten by the bialim. So the more you're fattening it up, the more you're actually giving him when you're giving it mizonos. You're giving it to the guy. He's going to benefit directly from that. But a tamea, a behemah tamea, nafsho v'gufa l'shamayim. If you want to be makdish at the bedek habayis or whatever, no one's eating it. So at the end of the day, how fat it is not going to help the bialim. So when you give it mizonos, you're actually not helping the bialim at all. Amru lo af hatmeya nafsho l'shmeim. So the Chum said, now even by hatmeya nafsho l'shmeim v'guf v'shalo, the guf still goes to the bailim. Why? Shem yirtza harei umachal of the chavim o machil klavim. Because the bailim is still allowed to sell it to a guy or feed it to dogs. So he's obviously going to be able to get more. The dog is going to get more meat out of it. The guy is going to get more meat out of it and therefore pay more for it. So the bailim is benefiting by you fattening up even his non-kosher animal. Amr of Yitzchak Bar Chananya, Amr of Huna. Hamudra ana mechaveru mutzal asi lo bito. If there's a nedra ana between two people, you're allowed to marry off your daughter. One of them is allowed to marry off the daughter to the other one. So havi bar Rabbi Zera. V'mayaskinan. Asks Rabbi Zera, what are we talking about over here? Who has a nedra ana against who? If the neder is that the chasan is not allowed to get hana'ah from the future father-in-law, from the father of the kala, he's at least getting the hana'ah that he now has someone to clean up after him and to help him out and do chores in the house that he didn't have before. So isn't he getting hana'ah from the father-in-law by the father-in-law giving his daughter over to him as a wife? So wouldn't it be a violation? Ella, rather, it must be, says the Gemara, that it must be that the case is that the nechasim of the chasan, kisha nechseh chasan, the bakshanes, are asur na laviakala. That the nechasim of the chasan are asra na laviakala. And still, it's not called that the father-in-law is getting any ana from the chasan when he gives his daughter over for marriage. So, gedolim yizu amru, zonas ishav esbanav. Meaning, why would you think that it's a violation that that's called that he's getting ana? Because now he's supporting the guy's daughter. Now I'm supporting your daughter, so maybe that's called that you're getting enough from me. So Gemara says, the Mishnah says even more than that. That zonas ishav esbanav af bishu chayvim zonosan. That you're even if he still has his children and his wife living in his house, you're allowed to give them a zonos, even though he's not allowed to get enough from you. For shavata amrit mutu lahasil obito. So you need to tell me that you're allowed to marry his daughter where she's actually moving out of his house now? Of course that's going to be mutu. As the Ran points out, kolomar emu yachalozan esbito baldever eshu. So, if when the father-in-law still is obligated to support his daughter, I'm allowed to support her. So, kol shekein sheyuchalos nosa ach shenasa shenischayv b'mizonos ishto. Kol shekein after the father-in-law has already given her over for marriage, where he no longer has a chiyuv to support her, then of course he's allowed to support her. What would be the havamina? So says Gemara liolam kishenichsei avikala asur malachasan. Now we have to say that the case is that the nechasim of the aviyah kala are asr on the chasan. We said, but then isn't the chasan benefiting because he's getting the at least the shivcha ubebito bogeres umidaita? No, we're talking about where the aviyah kala isn't the one that makes the decision about the kala getting married. She's already old enough to make her own decision. So it's not that the father of the kala is giving her away; she's giving herself away, and therefore it's not that he's getting no benefit from the aviyah kala. There is a discussion. The Achronim, Rav Yaakov Emden raises the issue that even though it's not usher because of the mezonos that the chasan is chayev to give the kala, meaning if there's a neder that the father-in-law is not allowed to get enough from the chasan, it's not a violation when the chasan supports the kala. But what about the kesef kiddushin? He's giving kesef kiddushin lavia. Before we assumed it's a bogaris, when we assumed it was still a naro or a katana, so the money is being given to the father-in-law. So isn't that a violation of ana? So he says that you have to say that we're talking about kiddushe biyar, kiddushe shtar over here, where it's not kiddushe kesef, but ena chinami. Kiddushe kesef would be a violation of ana. But some of the achronim aren't convinced. The Sefer Parshas Nedarim says that it's not so. Maybe even if he's giving kiddushe kesef, it's still not called that he's being mahan of the father-in-law, because the father-in-law has a right to that kiddushe kesef. It's like being machzir aveda. It's like giving something that rightfully belongs to him. That's very questionable because it's not like an aveda where it actually already belongs to him. Kiddushe kesef, he has no guarantee that he's ever going to get kiddushe kesef for his daughter. Even if he gives her off to a mukashchin and he has the power to do that, the mukashchin may decide to be mekadisher with bia or with shtar and not with kesef. There's no guarantees that there's going to be kiddushe kesef. Okay. Tani nami hachi, hamudra nami chaveru asala. And we have a price that says like this, that if someone's mudra ana mechaveru, you're not allowed to marry off a daughter to him. Avo mesio bito bogeres midaita. But if she's old enough to make her own decision, she can get married to the guy. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Hamadir Benol Talmud Torah. If a person is Madir his son for Talmud Torah, what does that mean to be Madir his son for Talmud Torah? Let's just finish the halacha verse. Mutul Malus Lo Chavish Almayim Lahadiklal Sener. He's allowed to do menial tasks or very minor tasks, like filling up a jug of water or lighting a candle for him. But that's it. So there's Machlokes in the Shon. What does it mean to be Madir Benol Talmud Torah? The Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Nedarim explains that the father took a neder on the ben that the ben can't get any hanor from the father's nechassim because the father's not impressed with how diligent the son is being in his Talmud Torah. So he says, I'm disappointed in you, you're not learning, and therefore you're not going to get hanor from any of my nechassim. Because Mishra says, according to the Rambam, you have to say that the lamed of lit Talmud Torah is not for, is a lamed of ba'avur, for the sake of Talmud Torah, that he took the neder in order to encourage Talmud Torah. Madir Espino sounds like the father was Madir the son, that the son shouldn't get any hanah from him, and that supports the shita of the Rambam. However, the Ramban and the Ran and other Rishonim say that we're talking about a father took a neder not to get any hanah from his son, so as not to be mevatel his son from Talmud Torah. Son is always trying to do things for the father and do him favors and do his shopping and get him dressed and help him out and do all sorts of things for the father. Father says, I want you to learn. Stop doing things for me. So in order to encourage the child to learn, the father took a neder that he's not going to get any hana'a from the child. And the Sefer Kinuyin Nedarim, he says that had it not been for Lule Divrei Ramban, we could have said Kipirusho Velo Mitaimo. We could have said like the Ramban, but for slightly different reason, meaning that the father was Madir himself not to get hana from the son, but the reason he's allowed to get hana from these Malachos Katanos is because there's an umdana that there's no way he really meant to completely asur all hana on himself from the son. Because if he would do that, then he'd be costing the son the very important mitzvah of Kibbut Avei. I mean, the Ramban says the word is the father takes another, he's not going to get any anah from the son, and these things are mutter, filling up the jug of water, lighting the candle, because that's not really anah, it's nothing, that's just a little nothing. But the Sefer Kinuyin Nedarim says, no, maybe those things are something, it's just that the father took that, never meant to include those things in the neder, because he has to leave the son with some opportunity to do the mitzvah of Kibbut Avei. Now, if communion between the Rambam and the Ramban would be according to the Rambam, it would only a hanah muetes would be mutter, but if it was a hanah gedola, it would be asur. Whereas according to the Ramban, even a hanah gedola would be mutter as long as it doesn't involve bittul Torah. I mean, according to the Ramban, the reason that he's allowed to do these things is because they take a second. The father doesn't want the son spending a lot of time helping him. Just do things that will take a second that aren't going to take you away from your Talmud Torah. So it's not about how much hanah the father gets, it's about how much time it takes away from the kid's learning. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's all about how much hanah is being given. According to the Ramban, rather, it's about how much hanah is being given. According to the Rambam, it's about how much it's taken away from his learning. Then there's a third pshat. Rabbeinu Avraham Nahar says that a guy is madir his son from his nechassim if he's osik b'malacha and mevatel Talmud Torah. So we say if the son does one of these malachas, it's not called that he's osik b'malacha. That's what we're pointing out. That he's saying, son, I want you to learn. I don't want you to do malacha. So he's making an isser. The tenai to the isser is that if you do any malacha, then you have a neder, you're not allowed to get anah from me. So the Gemara is saying, these things aren't called malacha. They're so minor, they're not even called malacha. That's what Rav Nahar is understanding the Gemara. Anyway, Rav Yitzchak Amar Litzel Sodah Katan, Rav Yitzchak says he could even roast a small fish for him. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Amar Rav Yochanan, Amudra Anah Mechaver Mutal Ashkos HaKoshel Shalom. If a person is Mudra Anah Mechaver, he's allowed to give him to drink the kos of peace. My nihu, what is the kos of peace? Hacha tagimo koshal beis ha'avel, either the kos and the beis ha'avel to give him to drink, I guess by Zuda Savra. B'marava amri koshal beis ha'merchatz. And in Eretz Yisrael they say that the kos of the beis ha'merchatz, that a person needed to cool down in the beis ha'merchatz, you're allowed to provide him with that kos. That's considered a minor hana as well. V'lo yozenes behemto, and you're not allowed to give his animals. If the person's not allowed to get enough from him, you're not allowed to feed his animals. Tanya Yeshua ish uza omer, zon avodo v'shuvchos v'knanim. You're allowed to feed his avadim and shvachos, v'loyos and espamto ben tmei ben Torah, but not his animals. The Achronim are troubled. Why it is that the Mishnah never discusses avadim and shvachos? It went straight from his family to his behemoth. And the Brisa never discusses his family. It just talks about his shvachos and his, okay, but that's the way it works sometimes. The Brisas and the Mishnayos are mashlim each other. But my time, why the distinction? Because avadim shvachos v'knanim l'man charusa avidan behemel l'pituma avida. You're not going to eat your avadim and shvachos. And therefore, since no one's going to eat them, fattening them up is not going to be a benefit to their owner. But fattening up his animals is going to be a benefit to him, because now he can get more meat out of those animals, or at least he could say, if it's a non-kosher animal, he could sell it for more to a guy. Okay, but let's try and pick up the Mishnah tomorrow.